to Everybody A, Everybody Gay,
a queer exploration of Pretty Little Liars.
With your hosts, Joanna, aka Speak Pirate. I'm here, I'm queer, and I have a cat named Spencer.
One of your other hosts tonight, LCO123, aka Vina, a proud member of the Church of Vander Jesus.
And I'm Kristen, and I also have a cat named Spencer. It is the same cat, in fact.
What a shocking twist.
Yes, I am Joanna's partner.
Kristen, welcome to the podcast. We are delighted to have you here tonight. So happy to have you here.
Yes, and I'm gonna brag on Kristen. Not only does she have a cat named Spencer and a cat named Salsa, so do I, but she is also a Seamus award-winning mystery author of the Roxanne Weary mystery series. She was a host of her own podcast, Unlikable Female Characters, that had like really fancy guests such as Megan Abbott and stuff like that. She's won an award from the Golden Crown Literary Society. She's just all around a terrific writer and a fantastic person.
Oh, you're so sweet.
That's some good wifing right there, I think. Yeah, the other thing we should share with our listeners is that Joanna and Kristen are about to get married in 2 weeks. 2 weeks from today that we are recording this. So
Literally a dozen years together.
Literally 12 years, yes. It is time, and I'm excited, and we're going to have hot dogs afterwards.
Oh, perfect. Sounds delightful.
As you do.
Yeah. As one does. Well, you know, maybe we should start there. Do you guys want to maybe share a little bit about 12 years ago, how it all happened, how you got together?
Sure. We had, I was friends with a woman, and Joanna was friends with that woman's wife, although they may not have been married at the time. They may have just been engaged. I don't remember
they
now.
They might have been married. They were together for a long time also, but.
So we had like mutual friends, and we met once briefly at a thing. And then a short time later, we met again at another thing. And so they introduced us, and we just started talking, and are just still talking. Those friends are no longer married, though.
Oh, okay.
And we're also no longer friends with either of them.
Are those two events related in any way?
No, not at all.
Okay, good.
Completely unrelated.
They both behaved somewhat badly in the divorce. Oh, they're married to other people now, I think, both of them.
Interesting.
Neither friendship survived the pandemic, that's for sure.
Gotcha.
But yeah, we're like the last people I feel like who met in real life. Sometimes I feel that way about us. But I will also tell you that the second thing that we saw each other at that Kristen just kind of breezed over, Kristen is also a musician. So she was the opening act for a touring band called Nervous But Excited. And my friend, Sam, had been like really like, oh, come on, our friend is opening for this. You should really go to this show. And I was like, I mean, okay. But yeah, I heard Kristen play that night, and just the rest is history.
That is very romantic and very cinematic too, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so sweet. Now you have a couple of cats, and you know, life is good.
These years later.
All these years later. That's great. So a question that I have for you both is, because I know, Kristen, somehow you have avoided watching PLL all these years. That
it is true. I have never watched a single episode of it.
And
I can remember one scene that Joanna showed me that involved, I think, a box of pasta and some stolen cash. Or something.
Yes, I recall that.
That's all I know about the show, honestly.
So when PLL became a huge part of your partner's life, was this surprising to you? Did you ever consider going down the rabbit hole with her? Like, what was your reaction?
So I don't really think I was invited in the rabbit hole.
Okay.
So I didn't immediately enter the rabbit hole. I myself am prone to very sudden and deep obsessions with things. Mm-hmm. So it seemed perfectly normal to me, honestly.
Sure. That's really good.
And I'll also say that my fandom changed over time because, believe it or not, I had been like a more casual fan of the show in the early seasons. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't really until like around the end of 6A that I started writing fic, and then I got more involved in like the fanish community, and then I became more of a super fan.
Sure.
But I just described myself as a super fan, but we're gonna breeze right over that. We're gonna hope that Kristen is still going to marry me.
My little super fan.
I'm your super fan, baby. and also, like, Kristen did know, like, we talked, I think, maybe on our second date, I think I had, like, mentioned that I had written fanfic in the past, because we were talking about Law and Order, I think.
Oh, okay.
And I could sort of tell from Kristen's reaction that, like, that was not really her thing.
No, I don't think that's fair.
Well. It seemed like I didn't know you as well then as I know you now.
I don't know if you are aware of this, but when I was in middle school, me and my friend Sharon wrote a Law and Order Sequest DSV crossover fanfic.
Wow.
Okay. Look at this. I'm learning new things about your partner, even after.
Wow. Live on the podcast.
Why didn't you tell me that on our second date? Were you just trying to look real cool, or
maybe, I don't know. I don't remember the conversation. I don't remember talking about that at all.
Oh, this is incredible. Oh my gosh. So Kristen, what was your reaction then when Joanna announced that she was going to have a Pretty Little Liars podcast? Because that's sort of, you know, writing fic, whatever, having like a weekly podcast, that's sort of another level of super fan-ness, we'll say.
It is definitely like next level. It's far beyond like the casual fan, the super fan. It just, you become, I don't know, coated in metal. I don't know. But I don't really think that I found it to be strange or extreme. I was starting my own podcast at the same time, roughly.
Mm-hmm.
So. I too was feeling the need to have a frequent conversing about all of my important thoughts about art. Joanna, you might disagree, but I am not really fazed by it that much.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Well, I think one of the really great things about us as a couple is like, we are not one of those couples that has to like all of the same things. Like I actually think that would be so boring to date someone who is exactly like you. So like we do like a lot of the same stuff. Like we have tons of common interests, but then we also have like some stuff like, you know, so there'll be periods of time where like, you know, Kristen obviously is like a professional writer of, you know, mysteries and everything. So like, there'll be like long periods of time where like Kristen is immersed in writing a book and I'm, you know, just kind of like, you know, doing my own thing or watching Pretty Little Liars or having a podcast. And, you know, then, you know, then there are times when like I'm busy doing my own thing and Kristen is, doing her like embroidery or her, like hearth witchery or, you know, just like playing music or, you know, there, like, yeah. Kristen has tons of interesting skills and she's good at everything. So, I feel like we complement each other that way because we let each other, you know, do whatever, go wherever our interests lead us. Nobody is ever mad about feeling left behind or anything.
Oh,
yeah. I think it would be super boring to have a partner who is only interested in the same things. Like, yeah. I don't know, you need to have your own private little spaces in your mind and stuff. It's just like, it seems like that would be awfully boring, so... I'm glad that we have different interests, but we can come together on important matters such as cats with names that start with S.
Very important.
Very important.
Very important. Well, that leads me really well into a question that I wanted to ask, which is like, what is some of your favorite media to consume together? And what is some of your favorite media to consume separately?
So I would say something that we like to consume together are like a sort of bad rescue dramas on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We enjoy shows that feature firefighters having meaningless personal conflicts. Those are good. We also really enjoy watching true crime.
Mm-hmm.
We have a tradition on Saturdays that we call murder breakfast, where we get breakfast and we watch the Dateline that was on the night before.
I love it.
If somebody just heard us talking about it, they would be like, those people murder someone over breakfast every Saturday. It's wild.
Or they like eat a murdered person.
Or I guess it could also mean we murder our breakfast, which we do as well.
Sure, like sure.
You know, also that, yeah.
Yeah. But Law and Order, I would say, is a show that we bonded over initially, like the early seasons when it was good and before we realized that we need to be against propaganda. But Law and Order,
yes.
Mad Men is a show.
Oh, that yeah. Mad Men.
Really, really love quite a bit. Those are some things. Kristen was not really a sports gay before we got together, but. Mm-hmm. After a long enough time, I have either worn her down or she is genuinely converted to watch many sportings with me.
Gotcha.
I mean, I think that it's a third option, which is that I became obsessed with it by no fault of my own. And now I'm just obsessed with it. I don't.
You had no choice. It just sort of happened to you. It washed over you.
I think you might like it, but,
maybe.
And then I'm trying to think about, Drag Race. We both watch Drag Race.
Mm-hmm. Very important.
And we're both up for any kind of mystery show. Well, one thing, like a liar adjacent thing, we watched Ragdoll, which Kristen really, really enjoyed.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yes, we did watch Ragdoll.
Yeah, that was a good show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So those are some things, but like things that we watch separately, like another show that is like meaningful to me that Kristen, you're going to surprise me if you say you've ever watched an episode of it, but I don't think you've ever watched Buffy.
No, never.
Interesting.
But that would okay. be another thing that we enjoy separately. I don't know if there are shows that, like, I'm pretty open to, like, watching stuff that Kristen wants to watch. Like, sometimes mm-hmm. it'll get a little grisly yeah. for me, or I'll just decide, like, this isn't really my thing.
Sure.
But are there shows yeah. that you like that I don't really like?
So I don't know if you ever watched much of Yellowstone, but that's something that I like. And Succession is another one.
Mm, love Succession.
But I don't think there's too much. Like, we're both pretty open to consume
sure.
whatever type of thing at any time. With the exception of if it gets too grisly for
sure.
Joanna, whereas my brain cannot perceive too grisly for some reason.
And like Yellowstone and Succession, they go in a category of what I class as like Kristen's, sometimes I call them weird little night shows, because Kristen, sometimes she stays up later than I do. And so that's like something that like, if I turn on the TV the next morning, I can see like, Kristen was watching like this show that I've, never looked at before.
Yes.
I like
yes.
that.
Like yes, that my character. Weird, my weird little night shows.
Like... weird little night shows.
Yes.
Which are like, I mean, those are both very popular. That's one thing. Sometimes I will avoid a show if I feel like it's too popular. And Kristen is often a person who is like, Joanna, it's popular because it's a really good show and we should check it out. Like Mad Men was like that. We were latecomers to Mad Men because I was always like, I don't know. Everyone likes that show. Because it's really good.
Even people with generally not that good of taste can be right sometimes. Like, because they like everything. So it's fine for you. It's fine.
Right. No, I get both of those impulses. I really do. So Kristen, if you were going to have, I know you've had podcasts, you'll have podcasts in the future. If you were going to have a podcast that was like a podcast, like a long running podcast specifically about a TV show, kind of in the model of our show, what do you think that show would be? And what would be sort of your slant?
Boy, that's a good question. I think that I would probably like to do a deep dive into Jennifer Love Hewitt's wigs on Ghost Whisperer.
Oh, that sounds incredible. It would be a Ghost Whisperer podcast, but a specifically wig-focused.
A wig-focused Ghost Whisperer podcast, yes.
Okay, gotcha. That sounds amazing. That sounds truly amazing.
I love that for you. I think that would be fantastic. And I have absolutely no idea if any of our listeners have ever watched Ghost Whisperer, but I am going to just put this out there. Kristen has one of the hottest takes on Ghost Whisperer in all of fandom, I think.
Okay, so now I got to hear it.
You want to hear it?
I want to hear it. What's your
spoilers? Whisperer? Spoilers for Ghost Whisperer. Anyway,
yeah,
that tragic wig show.
So my hot take is that I did not mind the Jim Sam plotline.
Okay, I don't have Ghost Whisperer to know what any of that means.
So Melinda Gordon, she always points out her last name for some reason. Her husband dies, but luckily she can see ghosts, but she doesn't want a ghost husband. And so he, like, his spirit goes into the body of someone else. And when she looks at that person, she sees her husband, even though everyone else sees
Sam,
the guy that he originally was.
Okay.
So.
So they killed off her husband.
They killed her husband.
Only to have his ghost inhabit the body of a different actor. So it seemed like, oh, maybe they're just trying to write that actor off the show. But then because she can still see Jim, they kept the original actor. They just changed his character's name to Sam. It was...
Okay.
I mean...
Okay.
So...
All right.
So anytime someone else looks at them, they see Sam and Melinda Gordon. But sure. whenever like we are seeing them kind of from her perspective, she sees the original actor of Sam. So it was like a very strange of Jim. And I do think that it is a strange choice, to be clear. But there is a kind of an interesting period, I think, where Jennifer Love Hewitt's character knows that Sam, like, she knows what has happened to him. But he doesn't know. He doesn't know that he's Jim in Sam's body and dead. He doesn't know any of that. So there's this period where I think that's kind of interesting.
Okay.
That, like, she knows and we know, but he doesn't know. And he's like, what's happening? Why is everything so weird? And I think that's interesting.
Yeah. And I'm guessing that this was, like, not a popular storyline for fans.
Wildly unpopular.
I think that the part
universally hated
the point at which it becomes stupid is when Jim, the actor of Jim, re-enters the chat. Like, when it's before Sam knows that he's dead, we see him as Sam. But it's only how does it even work? How does the replacement come to happen? Well, at any rate, the show essentially, like, a season later, they decide, like, well, maybe that never happened, and then they just proceed as if it hadn't, except Jim's name is now
S. James
because he's Sam. And it's very confusing.
Wow. The last thing I expected on this episode was for us to get into a deep dive on Whisper. Also, while you were saying that, I was thinking, I think that your podcast would have to be called Ghost Wigsperer.
Oh, absolutely.
Wow. I mean,
the podcast would essentially consist of me being like, what the fuck is that wig? Like,
what is that wig? What's that wig? Also, a quick note on the Jim Sam situation.
Yeah.
I mean, wow. to be fair, there's a lot of wig content. Like, she sometimes wears, like, up to 4 different wigs in a single episode. Wow. And, like, when the scenes are not shot sequentially, it can be a real head scratcher.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I think we have this podcast like already outlined for you, Kristen.
Oh yeah.
I just want to go for it.
it's a turnkey idea.
Exactly. Well, I have more questions, but I don't want to totally run the show here. Joanna, would you like to throw some stuff out there?
Yeah, I think that we can like get a little, you know, we can like dip some toes into the water of Pretty Little Liars.
Okay.
So my first question for you, Kristen, and we know that you have not ever really watched the show. How many Pretty Little Liars characters can you name? Like, just say some names that you think might be names of the liars.
Okay.
Or characters on the show.
Okay. Spencer.
Yes! Mm-hmm. Ding, ding, ding!
Okay, great. Melissa Hastings.
Oh, yes. And tell us how you know her first and last name.
So the only reason that I know her first and last name is because that actress played a doctor on one of the bad rescue dramas that we mm-hmm. like to watch. And Joanna would refer to this personage in the show as Melissa Hastings. And to some point, I didn't even, like, I didn't know what the character's name was supposed to be. I just kind of was like, Melissa Hastings. So.
That's obviously who she is.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. And then, okay. I know that there is something that is Emerson. And I think that is two names.
Emerson. Yes.
Emerson.
Yes.
And Emily and Allison.
Yes.
Oh, woo.
Okay, but to be clear, I did only guess that because those are the names that make sense to come out of Emerson.
I mean, good powers of deduction, though. Really.
Thank you.
That mystery writer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think that's all. That's it.
All right.
Okay. Those are some. I would say those are 4 essential characters that you just named.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. I think that's great. And Spencer's last name on the show is Hastings, so almost.
Wow.
Double credit.
Yeah, Melissa is her older sister.
Yeah.
Slash sort of half cousin. It's a whole thing.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right. So, Kristen, could you roughly describe what you understand the show Pretty Little Liars to be about?
There are some high school students
mm-hmm.
who do something bad. No. So there's someone who's like a secret stalker
mm-hmm.
who has something to do with these women, these girls.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I got.
Okay. Do you know what the secret stalker is called?
Yes, the secret stalker is called A.
Yes! Yes! Excellent. Now, I don't remember. I know that this was in like an early draft of one of your novels, but I don't remember if it was in the final version or if I was like about it and then you cut it out. But do you have in one of your novels a reference to Pretty Little Liars?
I believe that I do. yes. I don't remember what it is, but it's just like in passing about something being on a television, right?
I think you say something like somebody says like it's not A, this isn't Pretty Little Liars or something like that.
Oh, look at me.
I remember reading that and I was like, you don't even watch Pretty Little Liars. And you were like, I don't need to.
Well, I'm allowed to reference it in my character's dialogue.
Yes, just because you don't watch it doesn't mean that your characters might not. I was trying to do an internet search to see if I could find which book that happened in, and like if it was in the final draft or not. But it was a useless Googling. So I could not find an answer one way or the other.
Well, I don't think there would have been any reason for that to be taken out. So I think it's probably still in there.
Okay. So
we're feeding the algorithm right now, because like you Googled Kristen Lepiaka, Pretty Little Liars, and now here I am on this podcast. Like,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
Like,
yeah. I'm optimizing your search results so that this will rise to the top. all right. So of the main characters of Pretty Little Liars, and I would say there are like five or six main characters generally. But how many of them do you think are queer?
Oh boy. I'm going to guess three.
I think, you know what? I think we would agree with that.
I would agree with that. I mean, our definitions might be a little shakier than some others, but I think three is about right. Yeah.
But Emerson is endgame.
Yes.
Quote unquote.
Yes.
So
yeah. And so I think Mona is the would be the sticking point. But
and Spencer. I mean,
and Spencer. Yeah.
So all right. So awesome. Vina, did you have any kind of introductory PLL questions before we get into some of our plotline specific call outs?
Well, I mean, I had a more specific question. I have a feeling based on what I've now gleaned of just how minimal your PLL knowledge is, Kristen, which I will say I'm impressed by, honestly. I don't know how relevant this is going to be. I was going to ask if you could provide like a one sentence understanding of any of the liar characters, but if that's,
oh, no.
I think that's probably, we're not there, which is totally fine.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. Yeah. we can move it right along.
All right. So Kristen is a mystery writer. Yes. And so I am wondering, what would you as a mystery writer do or have a character do in the following situations? Okay. All right. So the first one. You are a bank manager and have fallen behind on your sizable mortgage and other bills and are desperate to the point that you decide to steal a bunch of cash from the safe deposit box of a recently deceased customer who has no known next of kin. How would you go about doing this?
Oh boy. Okay. So how would I like carry out this specific theft?
Yeah, how would you go about committing this crime?
Well, I guess it would depend on how easy or difficult it is to access the safe deposit box area alone, right?
You have that power 100%.
I have that power.
And you have the keys.
And I have the key. Well, it seems really easy, to be honest. I would just go I would go to work 30 minutes early and clear it out and put it in my briefcase and leave it under my desk for the rest of the day and go about my life. Who's going to know?
Okay. You've stolen the aforementioned money by stuffing it into your unclosed purse. When you get home, where would you suggest hiding this windfall other than a pasta box?
Okay, so I cannot pick a pasta box.
But that one's out.
No, the pasta box is off limits. There's already money in it, apparently.
Okay.
Specifically lasagna noodles. So like the cash is stuffed between individual noodles.
Very unsanitary.
Very unsanitary. Okay, who do I live with? Do I live with anyone in this story?
Your teenage daughter. You live with your teenage daughter. Nobody else.
Okay. Well, I would probably, how long do I need to hide it for?
I mean,
like, is it overnight or for, is this like long term?
I think it's kind of, I mean, it's long term ish, I think.
I mean, I don't know why it's long term. She could have just put the money in her bank account, but I know. I mean, assume you need to hide it for like a couple of months, let's say.
Okay. I need to hide it from a couple of months from my teenage daughter. Okay. I would probably put it somewhere sort of gross, like in a gross part of the basement. Probably like wrapped in plastic, but maybe like in some old buckets that have dried paint in them or something. Just like a place that's like gross, that no one is going to go casually into that area. That's probably what I'd do.
I think that seems
that makes
solid.
A lot of sense. Yeah.
Way better than the pasta box, I believe.
Totally.
And like no one ever goes into the Marin basement because Caleb lived there for like weeks undetected.
True.
So, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So you are suspected of involvement in your best friend's, your former best friend's murder. Then you discover that a storage unit has been rented in your name and contains an industrial barrel with a body decomposing inside of it. How would you handle this situation?
Well, okay. When you say rented in my name, do you mean paid for using one of my actual payment methods? Or like my name written on the rental contract and paid in cash?
We presume that, I think all we really know is that your name is on the rental agreement.
I think it's probably more the latter. Name on the rental contract.
Okay.
But there's not probably a financial paper trail.
Okay. Well, I would probably lean heavily on this fact when I consulted an attorney and urged my attorney to explain to the police that some crazy person has written my name on a storage unit contract, but you can, like, you will not be able to connect the dots to me.
Okay.
I feel that that paper trail is crucial in proving one's innocence, but I anticipate that what the person in this situation did was not to consult a lawyer.
No, although I agree, bringing Veronica Hastings in would have been an excellent, excellent choice. That always a good idea.
Mm-hmm. 1000%.
Okay. All right. Your best friend's husband, who happens to be an evil con man currently posing as a psychiatrist, has kidnapped her and dragged her off into the woods, probably to murder her. As you are rushing to her rescue, you accidentally hit him with your car, killing him and impaling him on your windshield. What would you do next in this situation?
how accidentally, like, he just like lunge out into the road?
I mean, yeah, it pretty much was accidentally. Like, she was driving and she didn't really expect him to all of a sudden be in the middle of the road. But then,
yeah,
but there he is.
Like, one second he's in the front of the car, and then the next second he's like impaled on the windshield.
And so, like, it's one of those where it happened so quickly that, like, even if she had technically had a moment to like break, I don't think anybody could prove it because it happened really fast.
Okay, well. Again, I would probably consult an attorney. But I think that if it was imperative to somehow conceal this terrible crime rather than just report an accident had taken place, then I would probably, I don't know. It's like, wait, is my car drivable? After the accident.
No. Right? No. It's not drivable.
No, they leave in in Rollins's car, I think.
Yeah.
So your car isn't drivable, but his car is. And also it wasn't your car. It was a car that you had on loan from a third party.
Well then I would definitely just leave that scene completely. Like, it's not even my car. Like, yeah.
So you would leave the scene. You would leave him impaled on the windshield. You would like.
Oh, for sure. Well, he's an evil con man, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Would you do anything to try to conceal the body, or would you just leave it as is?
I would just absolutely leave it as is.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. That makes absolutely sense. Nothing. Just it's impaled on the windshield. This was clearly an accident. The car is totaled. Let people figure it out.
Okay. Okay.
All right. All right. Okay. Your best friend is suspected of murdering her former best friend. You find a knife that might be the murder weapon. How would you dispose of it?
I think I would find a way to enroll myself in a class at a forgery to like produce knives and melt metal and whatnot. And after like first just washing the blood off the knife so that I did was not in possession of a bloody knife, I would then take this knife and somehow melt it down into other non-knife objects, effectively disappearing the knife without it ever being discovered.
Love that answer.
Yeah, it's also weirdly more similar to how they actually try to dispose of the knife than I would have expected.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. How do they dispose of the knife?
They take it to a kiln at the school that inexplicably just has a kiln all of a sudden and try to melt it in there. But then, of course, because A is always afoot, they get trapped and almost get killed in the kiln.
Killing in the kiln.
Typical.
Yes.
Okay. This is the last one of these that I have for you. Your mother may or may not have murdered a police officer who coerced her into a sexual relationship in order to cover up your shoplifting habit. You find a gun that could be the murder weapon. How would you dispose of it?
I just have so many questions about these scenarios. Like, where do I find it?
Okay, I think she finds it in the Marin house, right?
She finds it in Ashley's closet, like in Ashley's luggage,
okay.
I think.
Okay, yeah. She finds it in her mom's luggage.
Okay. Like, does it need to be disposed of? Like, it was hidden in their house. Mm-hmm. Is her mom suspected of the murder? Like, are the police looking at her already?
Of the murder, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and she's worried. She thinks her mom might have done it. The police definitely think her mom might have done it. So she's like worried that a search warrant and police could be happening like within a matter of days.
And it's not her mom's gun.
Right. It's her dad's gun, but they're divorced. Yeah. So.
Okay. Do I still see my dad with any regularity?
Not much. He's kind of an asshole.
Well, is it possible that I could go to his home and leave the gun there because it's his?
I mean, I think that's a great idea. Plus, if it was the murder weapon, you might be framing Tom, which I feel like is a solid plan.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that in that case, like, because like anytime you like take a gun and throw it in the river or whatever, like it could reappear in some weird way. Like it's not really disposed of. But if you have like safely placed it in a place where it's not going to even appear unusual, like it's his.
Mm-hmm.
Like, are the police looking at him at all?
No.
So yeah, that's what I would do. I would take it there.
That makes so much sense. How she actually disposes of it is she drives to a college campus and attempts to bury it in the woods.
in the backyard frat party.
Yeah.
It doesn't work out.
Yeah. Yeah. She carries it around in like this giant, like ostentatious duffel bag and then tries to bury it in the woods.
But this is also the daughter of the woman who stole the money in the open purse. Like, who walked out of the bank with the money.
Yeah.
Akimbo. So, yes. Yes.
So, can I ask some mystery related questions?
Oh, okay. Yes. Mm-hmm.
So I have some scenarios. Some of them are mystery related. Some of them are just human behavior related. I have four scenarios here. And I'm going to read them to you, Kristen. And I would be curious for you to rank them in order of most to least perplexing. to you.
Okay.
As your choices.
I feel like I need to take notes or something. Yes. Like I need to get a piece of paper.
I can always repeat anything that you want.
Okay.
Yes. As a writer, as a human, you know, what do you think of these scenarios?
Okay.
So the first, and this is something that happens multiple times over the course of Pretty Little Liars, is planning multiple quote unquote sting operations that are essentially just you and your friends standing around waiting for someone to show up who may or may not show up.
Okay. Okay.
A second would be planting evidence to incriminate a friend of another friend's murder because you believe that the first friend committed the murder despite a lack of evidence. So it's somewhat a circular logic there.
Okay.
The third would be going on a remote weekend trip with a man you barely know who has told you he's related to your dead girlfriend despite the fact that danger lurks around every corner of your life. And you've never actually seen this man interact with any member of your dead girlfriend's family.
Okay.
And the fourth would be sleeping over at someone's house after a date that ended in you talking them to sleep before you've even kissed or slept together.
Oh, God. Okay. Okay. Will you please repeat the circular logic murder allegation situation.
Absolutely. So you are planting evidence to incriminate one friend of another friend's murder because you believe that the friend committed the murder despite the fact that there is a lack of any real evidence.
Okay. Okay, and a question on the multiple sting operations. When you say multiple, how many are we talking here?
Oh, man. I mean, it happens probably
half a dozen
times. Yeah.
More.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Interesting. Okay. I'm going to say that the remote danger-filled trip with the guy who's possibly related to my ex.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say that's the most.
Okay.
Unlikely.
Gotcha.
Yeah. It just seems like if you are already aware that like unknown perils are lurking everywhere, like why are you like, you're just really tempting fate to put yourself into this position. It just seems like, have you ever watched like a movie, like a thriller movie ever? Like obviously bad things are going to happen there.
Yes. Couldn't agree with you more.
I think I would probably say the likelihood of having to conduct six or more sting operations in the space of how many years? Or how many seasons?
That's a whole other can of worms. Maybe 5 years.
Well, that seems like a lot.
Maybe in a month.
I feel like six sting operations would be a lot for an entire lifetime. So having to do so very many makes that quite unlikely. So I would say that is number two.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, I would probably go with the very confusing friend murder circle.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's my brain.
It's not much clearer when you're actually watching the storyline play out on television.
Fair enough. And then, oh my gosh, like, okay. What am I missing?
The date. Staying over at somebody's house after a date.
Oh, yes. Yes, I think, that is strange, but I feel like it is less strange
than the other in real life.
It feels more like something that could happen in real life. Yeah.
It could happen. Like, it's odd, yes. It's like, why would you do that? Sure. But it's like in the realm of possibility. So yeah.
Okay. Okay. Cool. Cool. Yeah. As you can imagine, these are all scenarios that have played out on Pretty Little Liars.
Okay. So I have a similar question, that I came up with as Vina was asking that one. I'm going to give you a list of things, that at one point or another have been suspected of being murder weapons.
okay.
And so, I would like you, you know what, instead of just giving you the whole list and having you rank them, I'm going to say, like, I'll tell you the thing and you can say, like, good murder weapon, bad murder weapon, like, okay. in terms of like, if you would use it in a story.
Okay. Got it.
Okay. Blood pressure medication.
Bad.
Okay. A luggage pull. Like the rod of a suitcase, like the part of mine that bent after your mom put her giant bag on top of it that time.
Okay, got it. Possibly okay. It could be sharp, and you have a good thrusting power. But it would really depend on, like, what else was available to me at the time. Like, it would not be my first choice.
Okay. Okay. Golf club.
Yeah. That seems like a reasonably good murder weapon.
Okay. Hockey stick.
For some reason, it seems less good to me. I don't know why. Because it's essentially the same as a golf club, but, I feel like as a golf club, it can be easily hidden in, like, a golf bag with one of those golf club head covers on it and in the back of the garage for a million years. So, like, a hockey stick, it doesn't have, like, a thing that it goes into. Mm-hmm, so it's, mm-hmm. like, a little bit harder to conceal
once okay.
it's covered in blood.
Okay. Okay. Gotcha. A golf trophy.
Can you describe it?
Well, it's from Hilton Head.
Okay. Like, is it metal?
It's and also it's found, it's like in a box of stage props.
Wow. Okay. It is in a box of stage props. It would really depend on.
It has what like it's a sharp edge, I guess. Like the base of it has like a sharp edge that they think might have blood on it.
Okay. What else is in the box of stage props?
Props. like some hats, I think. Maybe a feather boa.
Okay. So like no other murder weapon.
Things, unless you want to strangle someone with a boa, but I don't.
Okay. Well, I think it's an okay one, but you could probably do better. Like, okay. Unless, like, you were, like, fighting over the trophy, and then it just, like, sort of became an extension of your arm as you were clawing angrily at someone. Like, I get that. But if you were like, I'm going to murder someone, like, you could pick a better thing than a trophy, even one with a sharp edge.
Okay. Got it. A horseshoe.
No. How would that even work? Like, how? It's, like, not even sharp. Or heavy.
It might be a heavy
horseshoe. How heavy is a horseshoe?
I don't think it's that. I mean, people throw them as part of a game,
I'm Googling it right now.
okay. A rock.
A horseshoe weighs 2 pounds, 8 ounces, by the way. I wanted to know, and so now we know. A rock, how big of a rock?
A rock that you can hold in your hand. So not like a giant boulder that you push down a mountain on someone, but like a heavy rock that you can hold in your hand and clonk someone with. And you don't have a slingshot or anything. It's just your hand.
Yeah, it's just your hand.
You're just standing there beating someone's brains in with a
rock. You just have to hit them from behind with the rock.
Oh, just once?
I guess so.
Well, that seems unlikely. Like, unless you're really, really, really strong. Because if it's like, if it's a rock that's small enough to hold, unless it's made of like, what's that space thing that's like the heaviest thing in the world? Unless it's made of that, something that's small is not going to do the trick. I don't think that's a very good murder weapon. No.
Okay. Okay. And then rat poison.
That sounds very cruel, but yeah, I think it's probably good.
Okay. Okay. Vina, did I miss any murder weapons?
I mean, I think that those are the essential, like, weird ones, you know, outside of kind of the normal ones. Yeah. No, I think that's a great list. Yeah.
But it just seems to me that, like, in almost all of those situations, a better weapon would be available. Like, unless you're in very specific situations where the only thing you could possibly grab is a golf trophy. Like, I just feel like, could you not grab a knife? Like, yeah. Was the golf trophy in a house that contained knives?
The liars are always in very weird, specific situations. Yes.
There are never any overhead lights. There's never, like, you know, you're always going to have to, like, break a mirror in order to get a shard of glass to protect yourself. Like,
you exactly. Know. Exactly. Yeah. Fashion a shiv for yourself, which is the thing that does happen multiple times. Oh my goodness. Joanna, do you want to, because I know we both have a couple more kind of little games that we want to play here. I have a PLL versus Riverdale thing, but did you want to do one of yours?
Yeah. So I have Over Under, which, you know, you're familiar from our sports viewing. But this is like a variation of like, which thing do you think is going to be more? So, for example, the number of Emily's ex-girlfriends who have been murdered or presumed dead. Do we think that is higher or lower than the number of times a character has been involved in a car crash?
I think that it's under.
Correct. Okay. The dead girlfriend, there are only three presumed dead girlfriends, and there are at least six characters who are involved in car crashes. So
okay. That seems like the correct balance of those two things.
Okay.
Like, if such fates are going to befall you.
Okay.
Right.
All right. Number of adult cops who have dated minors, who've dated, like, you know, girls who are under 18, higher or lower than the number of people the main liars have actually killed?
Oh boy.
That's a grim one. That's a grim one.
It's very dark. I'm going to say I think the liars have killed more people.
Unfortunately, there are five cops who have dated minors, and there are only three people that the liars have actually killed. So.
And one of those cops dated multiple minors.
Yeah, so it actually could have been six, because, that's a great point. I was counting Garrett, Holbrook, because Holbrook dates two, Wilden, Lorenzo, and Tobey. So.
Yeah, I think that's right.
How can this be?
We've been asking ourselves that question for years.
The patriarchy is very strong in Rosewood. The heteropatriarchy is like runs the town, basically.
Are they aware that they're minors?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is very distasteful.
Yes.
That is okay. Very surprising.
All right. The number of liar dads who have had secret affairs, higher or lower than the number of murders or attempted murders that happen due to a case of mistaken identity?
I'm going to say over.
Okay, Vina, I'm going to have you rule on this because there are three dads who have had secret affairs. And originally, I thought there were two murders that happened due to a case of mistaken identity, but I feel like Jessica De Laurentiis is an edge case.
Yeah. number of murders that due to a case. Okay, so, right, so we have Bethany Young.
Bethany and Allison were the ones I was thinking of, but Jessica De Laurentiis, if we count her, then it's a trick question because it's even.
Yeah, no, I think you'd have to count Jessica.
Oh no, okay, that was a bad, that was a bad question. So I forgot one of the murders due to mistaken identity. Okay, number of secret twins revealed in the final 1.5 seasons, higher or lower than the number of fake cousins, architects, and sons in all previous seasons combined?
I feel like it has to be under. But I feel like the fact that this is a question this game that is not the answer
means that this show is so much more out there than you even
thought. This is wild. So there are more than one secret twin reveal. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
How many secret twins?
Two. But of different characters.
Of different characters revealed. Okay. So
Two. Okay. But there are a total of three fake cousins, architects, and sons. So you were correct. It was under, but it was close.
Yes, that is very close.
It was close.
Yes. Yes. Okay. That was my over under game. Thank you for being a good sport.
That was very fun. That was very fun. Well, Kristen, would you like to guess some PLL versus Riverdale?
Yes.
Okay, so I know that you haven't watched Riverdale, and I have not watched enough of Riverdale to cover most of these, but I found that there were some interesting sort of matches between different PLL storylines and Riverdale storylines. So I'm going to tell you a pair of two storylines. I have, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4 pairs of storylines, and I would like you to tell me which one happened on PLL and which one happened on Riverdale.
Okay.
Okay, so this is our first pair. So a character hosts a swingers party to win back their pregnant ex-girlfriend. And a character who has been faking a pregnancy is blackmailed into wearing a particular costume to a masquerade ball.
Okay, interesting. I think the masquerade ball is PLL.
Correct. Correct. Yes. Yeah. PLL loves a masquerade ball.
I mean, who doesn't?
All right. So next, a character is mauled by a bear and survives. Okay. And a character is caught in a bear trap while wearing a wedding dress.
I'm going to go with the wedding dress is PLL.
Correct. And for extra creepy points, that wedding dress has human bones as the corset.
Why?
Because it's creepy.
Because it's a hat on a hat. You don't just get caught in a bear trap while running through the woods wearing a wedding dress. You get caught in a bear trap running through the woods in a wedding dress with a corset made of human bones.
Yes. Of course. All right, our next.
I want to know more though. Is it like some crazy weird antique? Is it some kind of ritual? Is it a means of disposing of a body? Like make it into a wedding dress corset? Like,
well, it is to taunt the liars by like, you know, because like, oh, you know. they always look sort of guilty of something. So now Spencer is suddenly wearing this corset made of human bones. And also it's like painful, like she's bleeding because the bones have like injured her.
Okay, I still have questions, but I understand that this is not the forum, perhaps.
There's not really much more explanation than that. Like, there's a lot of stuff that happens on this show that's just like creepy for the sake of creepy.
Kristen, okay, could actually, you could be a co-host of this podcast because a large part of it is us just saying, but like, why?
But like, why did that happen? What? Like, okay, our next set of storylines. An organ harvesting cult, that's weirdly hard to say, is a plot point. A man who lives in the woods and makes women's faces into masks is a character.
Oh, boy. I'm going to say that the organ harvesting cult is PLL.
Nope, that one is Riverdale. Whoa. That one
we have the dude who makes masks of people's faces.
Yes.
That's a bummer.
I mean, they're alive. It's not like he's making like human masks of like dead women. He's making casts of their alive faces. I don't know if that makes it better.
Oh, that is very different.
Yeah.
I immediately went to the making
the grizzly. Like,
yeah. It still doesn't sound like a good plot point. He doesn't sound like a good character.
No, he's not like a warm and cuddly guy. Yeah. Yeah. All right. So in season 6, the characters suddenly develop magic powers after a crossover with another show. And in season 4, ghosts and the supernatural suddenly exist after a backdoor pilot for the show's spinoff.
Oh boy. I think the suddenly getting powers is PLL.
Nope. That one's Riverdale. On PLL, there's a backdoor pilot in season 4, and like suddenly ghosts and magic is like kind of real in the show.
But just on the spinoff, which is in a town that's like 20 miles away.
But also sort of on the main show, because like then it's kind of they bring in like more spookiness to the main show. So yeah.
Yeah, these two do fit together nicely. Like,
they do fit together kind of weirdly, kind of perfectly. I looked up to make this game, I looked up a list of craziest Riverdale plots, and then I just thought in my brain to a corresponding PLL plot that I could plug in. Oh my goodness. Thank you for playing. That was the end of that.
Oh, okay. So I have a really similar game. But my game is PLL, Days of Our Lives, or both. And I think this will be fun because Kristen actually has a familiarity with Days of Our Lives. Like, you certainly haven't watched all of it, but like, you know, you've watched a few episodes, you're okay.
Yes, I have seen episodes here and there over the course of many years.
Yes. Okay. So PLL, Days of Our Lives, or both. Both can be an option.
Okay.
All right. A character is kidnapped during a magic show and nearly sawed in half.
Days of Our Lives.
PLL.
Okay, not off to a very good start.
A character requires an exorcism.
Both.
Days. Yes. A threatening note is placed in a character's tooth.
Wait, in their tooth?
In their tooth.
How?
Like, well, like between two teeth.
But while they were getting dental work.
Or were they unconscious, I assume?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's a really tiny note. It's really small. They have to use a magnifying glass to read it.
Okay, this is PLL.
Yes, our intimate familiarity with the scenario gave it away.
The that guy jumped in probably tipped the hand there a little bit.
Okay. A character is buried alive.
Both.
Correct.
Yay!
Woo!
I mean, I would have been disappointed if it was not both.
Like, oh, yeah, right?
It was definitely both. A character is revealed to secretly be royalty.
That seems like it could be both as well. So I'll say both.
That was Days. That was only on Days, unfortunately. Although, who knows what future seasons of PLL could have held. A character fakes a pregnancy.
Man. That has to be both, right?
That is both.
Okay.
Both, yes.
Okay.
A character fakes their own death by systematically drawing vials of their own blood and storing them in a mini fridge.
I'm going to go with Dave.
PLL.
PLL really is a soap opera.
You've done extremely well. For a person who's never watched an episode of this show, I feel like you've really used the test to take the test. Like, you have learned as we've gone along with many of these scenarios.
I am curious about this note in the teeth.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, what is it made of?
It's made of paper. It's like a little tiny, tiny, tiny scroll. And it's like put between, I guess, presumably like two molars of one of the characters. And it's like she can feel it, like it's painful. And so they take it out and then they find it.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Fascinating. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I have one more game. If you're up for it.
Another go for it, bring it on.
So this is we're moving away from the mystery and more into the queerness of the show, which we've not really talked that much about tonight. True. But so Mona is a character on this show. Mona is this character who is, the show never really calls her queer, but she reads as extremely queer and very much in love with at least one of the main liars. And so what I've done is I've rounded up some of Mona's moments and some of the canonically queer moments between couples on this show or characters. And I am wondering if you can guess if this is a Mona moment or a canon queer.
Like, which is queerer?
Which is queerer, but also like who do you think that the non-queer Mona character did this, or like that this is actually something that happened between the queer characters? So okay, we'll see how this game goes. Maybe this will just be a rundown of
your favorite Mona moments.
Exactly. That's always how it ends up. Okay. So the first moment that we have here is confessing to the murder that the cops think your friend, girlfriend's mother has committed.
I'm gonna guess Mona.
Correct. Wearing a disguise in order to kiss the female object of your affection.
Well, that seems like it has to be canon.
That is Mona. Proposing marriage to your girlfriend after insulting her mother.
Canon?
Unfortunately, yes.
Emerson.
Yes, that is Emerson, the beloved Emerson. Attempting to drown the girl you have a crush on.
Mona.
Nope, that's a canon. That's a canon moment. That's our good dear friend Paige McCullers does that. This line, I really loved you once and I really was your friend.
Mona.
Mm-hmm. Having a clandestine rendezvous with your beloved at a creepy warehouse.
Canon?
That is canon. That is an Emerson moment. Sneaking into your beloved's room in the middle of the night to ask for her help.
Canon.
That is Mona. It's sort of both, but the one I'm referring to is a Mona moment. Yes. Yeah, so yeah, that just gives you a sense.
Sense
of this character.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. I have now. This is similar to a good murder weapon, bad murder weapon. This is my last activity that I have, and this is a good attempted murder, bad attempted murder.
Ooh. Okay.
Okay, so this is like a thing that has attempted to murder or harm a liar or liars. Okay. A fancy shower goes haywire.
Bad. Like, it doesn't seem realistic. Like, in what way does it go haywire? I have too many questions, I think.
It gets really, really, really hot.
Mm-hmm. It gets really okay. hot. And you can't get out. The shower door is, you're trapped.
I think that there are better ways. That seems like a bad one.
Okay. You are locked in the freezer of an abandoned ice cream factory.
Also, I think that's not very good.
Okay. So it's like the shower tried to murder you with heat, the freezer tried to
Just seems like if you're trying to murder someone, like those would be way too much to chance. But it seems like not a good method.
Okay. You are trapped in a coffin with a dead body and about to be thrown off a train.
Seems very bad. Like, it just does not seem like a reliable method. You don't... No.
Okay. how to explain this next one?
I can't wait.
You are... attacked by animatronic shoe repair equipment at a shoe repair shop.
Bad. Like, just not a it's like not a reliable method. So it's like, if you're not serious about doing this murder, like,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. A car is driven through your living room window.
Is it the car of the, does the car belong to the driver?
No, I think it's just, is it just a random car, Vina?
I think it's just a random car. Yeah.
So it's like an accident?
No, it's like orchestrated by A.
Got it. Okay.
But like you and your mom are home. You're like hanging out in the living room.
Well, I think that's an okay method. Okay. I still think there are better options, but like, you could be pretty convinced that you did the job if you drove in there. It's, you're not like throwing something off a train and hoping that it, like, yeah, it just seems like a more reliable method. But
I mean, it's true. They didn't even manage to throw the coffin off the train. So
no, complete failure.
Zero of 10 for that.
Okay.
Okay. Let me see what other things try to murder the liars at various times. I'm trying to go for once. Okay. You are all trapped in a burning building.
I mean, that's like arson. That's a classic. Sure. Method of committing a murder. So. Sure. I guess that's okay, but again, you're like not like because you're not going to be there seeing what ends up happening. You can't be sure. Mm-hmm. So by locking them in, it's not a guarantee that they will in fact be murdered.
They all like, survive.
So I assume.
You're correct. And
I will say that I would say that all of these are perhaps attempted murders, but also perhaps just attempted scares that could result in like injury.
You see them as a cry for help.
I don't know if A is necessary.
You die, Emily?
I'm going full Charlotte here. Like, we're just having fun. I don't know. I don't know that these are necessarily attempted murders so much as like moments of terror.
You don't think that they were like their best efforts?
No, no. I think that A just wanted to stir the pot a little bit. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, what do you think? Here's a question for you. What do you think, Vina, were the best efforts at one of the liars being murdered?
Oh, that's a very good question. I actually think Ian trying to kill Spencer in the bell tower was like a genuine moment of he is trying to kill her.
Oh, that's a frequent method of trying to kill someone, throwing them off a bell tower.
Yeah, that happens a few times.
The same bell tower?
The same bell tower.
Very dangerous bell tower.
Why do people go into this bell tower? Like, what is the reason?
Because it's the one church in Rosewood, which is like inexplicably a very Christian town. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that is a moment that genuinely feels like, oh, the liar might not make it out of this.
Okay. I'll agree with that.
Yeah. Do we have more games or can we move on to a couple final questions?
I think we are done with the games. But Kristen, thank you for being such a good sport and playing along with us.
You really were. You really took that off.
This was very illuminating.
Yes, Kristen's knowledge about Pretty Little Liars. What percent would you say your knowledge is increased by as a result of this
like
episode?
2,000%.
Yeah,
I know so much more.
Things you never could have predicted.
Yes.
Well, one of my questions for you, Kristen, is what, in your opinion, is the best teen show? Like, of all time.
Oh, boy. Of all time. That is a very difficult question. Can I say that I am so mad that there wasn't a second season of Teenage Bounty Hunters? Because
very really good answer.
That show was fantastic.
Yes.
And that really sucks. And I'm not sure if it was like the best one of all time, but it's like one that I like still wish there was more of. And like, that's really like the best thing that you can say about a piece of art is that like, absolutely, there wasn't enough of it, which is not what you can always say about TV shows. Like sometimes there's way too much of them. But yeah, so I think that's a really good one.
Yeah, no, hard agree there. Absolutely. Absolutely. Do you have a favorite piece of queer media / a favorite queer TV character?
Whew, my goodness.
Big question.
That's a really good question. Yeah. I really like Rosa Diaz from Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a very nice handling of bisexuality that you don't see very often at all. So I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. She's a great one. And played by an actual bisexual actress, which is pretty cool.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Well, I think those are kind of all of my talking points. Joanna, did you have anything else you wanted to cover? Or Kristen, for that matter? You know, now's
your time. True. Kristen, do you have any questions for us about our podcast or about the world of PLL?
Yes, I was wondering, aside from all my questions about the note and the tooth, which I will put together a list and ask you later.
Yeah.
But I know that there is like some kind of PLL adjacent thing that's on HBO now. Mm-hmm. Are you both watching that?
We have not watched it yet, but we do plan. It's like a reboot, even though the original show has not been off the air for terribly, not really long enough for us to miss it. We are planning to watch the new reboot and talk about it as part of our podcast in the future.
Yeah. They did a weird thing where the first season is called Original Sin, and then they like renamed it for the second season, which feels not like a very confident move.
Summer School.
But yeah, Summer School. So I'm not really sure. I haven't really been following that closely. I don't know if it's like new characters or if it's just like a new theme or what exactly. But yes, at some point we will be covering whatever that show is.
Okay. So I have a couple of non-PLL questions for Kristen. And one is, like, I know that, you know, part of you being an author who like writes like a really strong female lead who is bisexual, who is like a little bit of a mess, but who is also like super smart and somebody that you want to have on your side. Like part of that is like, you know, create the character that you want to see in the world. Mm-hmm. Like what queer characters, like, you know, what was your exposure to like queer characters in media as you were growing up?
Wow, I really don't think I had much exposure to queer characters growing up. Like I remember like Ellen's show, but other than that, like nothing really stands out to me as like queer characters that I saw a lot of. And especially in like if you're talking about books in the mystery genre, queer characters have just like always been treated as like you'll have a queer coding of a villain, someone it's not overt, but you know, it's just like all of those harmful tropes that are all in there that have kind of like, I feel like the mystery genre, what I'm trying to say, is like the one of the last places where that stuff still exists a lot. And that applies to like TV shows too, but it's just so common to have like, oh, we want this person to seem like a deviant, so therefore we're going to make them seem effeminate, or we're going to make this trans character be evil. Like, it's just very lazy writing, but it's really been pervasive in TV and books forever, and especially in the mystery genre, which I have always loved reading for the just the mental puzzle of it. But, you know, I didn't see the kind of characters that I wanted to read about. They were often either very just straight men detective characters in these books, or they had harmful representations of queer people. So when I wanted to write my series, I really just wanted to write the kind of character that I had always wanted to read about and never had. And I think that there are a lot of writers now who are doing cool, good stuff. And so publishing is changing. It's just kind of slowly, because it's still really common to see lazy writing like that, where you just have queer characters only have negative qualities. And that's just not reflective of the world. Like if you write in a genre that's rooted in realism, you want to reflect the kind of world we actually are in. And it's bizarre to me that some spaces have just gotten away for as long as they have, not doing that, not reflecting the world, having a very skewed view of it. So that's just really kind of a long way of saying that I never saw what I wanted to see in the types of books that I like to read. And that was part of why I wanted to be a writer.
Love that. That is a great answer.
That's really great. Thank you.
And also for people who like were into PLL because of the mystery elements, I'm a little biased, but I cannot recommend Kristen's books highly enough. The first one is The Last Place You Look by Kristen LaBianca. So go to your, you know, your Kindle, your local bookstore, your library, and check that out. It's set here in Columbus where we live. So that's like a super fun thing that Kristen and I sometimes get to do is we go scout like, oh, where are we going to have the body be found in this town? Like we're going to.
Yeah. So romantic.
one time we went to a parking garage where Kristen was planning on having a climactic scene in one of her books. Mm-hmm. And so we spent like the evening, like wandering around the parking garage, taking pictures of like the dark corners and like the, you know, kind of creepy ambiance. And then was it like, it was either like Facebook or it was just like your iPhone.
I think it was Facebook. It like it when Facebook does those weird things of like, we made a movie of your memory. And it was like, fun night out. And
it was like date night.
Yeah. And it had like this techno music and it was just like showing my slides of the parking garage. That was pretty great.
Wow.
This is our life that we have built together, and it is wonderful.
Yes.
Okay, I guess is this going to be my last question, or Vina, do you have any other questions?
I think this will be your last question.
Okay, so Kristen, can you tell us about some of the things that you're working on now?
Yes, I am currently working on my fifth novel, which is it's going to be a mystery. With queer characters, but it's not part of my Roxanne Weary series. So I'm working on that. I'm also working on an organization I created called Queer Crime Writers, and it is for anyone of any stage of their writing journey, from like beginners to published authors who write mystery and crime fiction and who identify as queer. So if anyone listening is a writer and would like to join, that's at queercrimewriters.com. And then I'm also starting a new podcast of my own that is going to feature writers and creative people talking about their most awkward moments ever. So I'm hoping to get that started here in the next couple of weeks.
And what is that called?
It's called Awkward Phrasing.
Excellent.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Yes.
That is so cool. That is so cool. I love hearing about like your experience as a writer and writing into existence the characters that you want to see in the world. I think that's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm really lucky that I have had the opportunity to do it. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for staying yes. late and for being willing to like talk at length about a show that you have not ever seen an episode of. I will play the episode that has the toothectomy for you at a later
yes.
time.
That is yes, an amazing please. Episode. It really is.
I look forward to having some, if not all of my questions about this note answered by watching it. But I do appreciate that.
Yeah. And you know, the next time, because we are going to take a couple of weeks off. So the next time that Joanna and I record, you two will be married, which
it's
is
so
very, very exciting.
Yes, super my exciting. Sweet little super fan.
Your super fan wife.
Yes.
That's incredible. That's incredible. Well, this has been so fun, Kristen. Thank you so much for coming on. And this has been a blast to talk about all of this and to scandalize you with the very... the various bizarre elements of Pretty Little Liars.
Would you say that you're more or less interested in Pretty Little Liars as a show after this episode?
Honestly, more. It's stranger than I.
Oh, it gets weird.
Understood.
It gets weird. Yeah.
Yeah. But yes, thank you very much for having me. This was a blast.
Oh, welcome back. Anytime. yes, and dear listeners, if you would like to get in touch with us, of course, you can always send us an email at everybodyapodcast@gmail.com. You can check out our Instagram at everybodyapodcast. You can check out our Spotify, everybodyapodcast. You can also leave a rating and review on iTunes. We would appreciate it. We will be back in a couple of weeks. We're going to take a little bit of time off, but we'll just keep rolling along with more bonus content. So thanks for being here.
Happy Pride Month, everybody.
Yes, happy Pride. Woo. Take care.
Take care.
Thank you.